Scripture reading this morning is Romans 12, 1 through 8, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness.
Good morning. Hey, I say forget Brexit. That's old news. We did that 250 years ago. I call it Amerixit. We had a holiday on that this week, you know, right? Thursday. And I know how you celebrated. I know you. I know what you did. You did whatever you wanted to do, right? Didn't you have this conversation? Hey, what do you want to do on the 4th? I don't know. What do you want to do on the 4th? And something to do. That's kind of how that always goes. But it always ends up having something to do with this, right? I'm very happy to announce that I was able to get my carbs in. I didn't have any trouble reaching my carb goal. And then some. And then a little more. And then one more time. So that's kind of what we do. So we've got this Independence Day celebration. But you know, independence is not just a political state. It is also a value. It's a thing. It's something we Americans value a lot. It is really, really important to us. It's the thing to declare our independence. It's the thing that leads us to do a lot of what we do. Because we don't like people telling us what to do. Our nation has this motto. Anybody know what our nation's motto is? Huh? E pluribus unum. E pluribus. Pluribus. Pluribus? Pluribus? Pluribus. Anyway, that means out of many, one. So we got this big nation, all these people, and we're trying to make one out of them. And it's really a little hilarious to me because we've got these laws to try to make us one and not hurt other people. But most of the many don't think the laws apply to them. And there's no better proof of that than whether you fire off your firecrackers in the city limits or not. Right? The laws say not to do that, but that doesn't apply to me. I'm e pluribus. I'm pluribus. I'm not unum. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. So today, I want to give the most anti-American sermon I've ever given. Not really. But I am going to question independence. Not politically, but personally. I'm going to question whether that is genuinely a Christian value. If you think I'm going to tell you we're all fine just like we are. Jeff? I thought Jeff was smarter than that. Well, I'm not. And the reason I put a big not up on the screen is because that is the answer to every blank on your note sheet. If you picked up a note sheet, you can go on and write not in every blank and then go on and doze off to sleep. I'll wake you up when it's time to stand for the end. Do you think I need to stand back here? Am I doing that, or who knows? If that gets annoying, go like this, and I'll stand back there. Maybe. It'll, what do you think?
It's annoying.
Okay.
We're talking about the microphones, right? Okay. So I apologize. I don't know what that is. But the reason I did that really is because I didn't want to feel too tied to my notes today. I just wanted to tell you what I really think. So who knows who will be preaching here next Sunday. But today, I just wanted to tell you what I really think about this, okay? And I've got some reservations about independence. Verse 2 of our text says, do not be conformed to this world. And when we hear that, we usually think of sins other people do. They shouldn't be doing those sins. And I'm pretty sure God wrote this for me, and he wrote it for you. And one of the ways we get conformed to our world a lot is we have picked up the value of independence in a way that I think is real different from what Scripture says. One reason we want so badly to be independent is because we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. We think we are wonderful. I've got news. We don't care what you had for breakfast. We don't care what you're doing right now. We care slightly what your kid said today. But a lot of those things that we think everybody really cares about, we don't really care that much. Because you're not as wonderful as you think you are. But we have this tendency to think very, very highly of ourselves and how important we are and how wonderful we are. Tell the truth, how many of you have Googled your symptoms and diagnosed? Yeah? How many of you went ahead and got the prescription together too? How many of you took it into the doctor and asked them to sign off on it? Let me recommend that you do that. Doctors love it when you do that. It's really, I mean, I get it. Doctors make mistakes, and sometimes they get really busy. But it's really ludicrous for us to think that we could know as much about that from a quick Google as they got from med school and internships and residencies. And yet for some reason we've got this notion that we are so smart. And it's not just about medicine, it's about all kinds of things. And when we bring it into church, sometimes it gets to be a problem. Because sometimes we think the church ought to do what I think they ought to do. I know. I've got an opinion. I'm right. And we can even get the diva kind of attitude. And I'm still looking for the male term for diva. So if you know what that is, be sure to let me know. But I'm talking about both genders. We get this attitude of, we know how it ought to be. And so we come and we tell the elders, here's what we ought to do. And we don't realize somebody else has already gone to the elders and told them the exact opposite. I feel like I complain about this. But let me just tell it to you again. There are people that come to us and say, we need more songs. And there are people that come to us and say, we need less songs. And there are people that come and say, we need to sing the older songs. And there are people that come and say, we need to sing the newer songs. And there are people that come and say, we need more time on the Lord's Supper, more time on prayer, more time on reading Scripture. And then there's people that come and say, we better get out on time, no matter what we do. And then somebody comes and says, we need to not worry about what time we get out. I want you to know that you've got an opinion, and that's great, but don't carry with that an expectation that you're right And that nobody's opinion is as good as yours, because there's an awful lot of other people's opinions. And so we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. One minister, some of you may have heard of, Marvin Phillips, said, two things I know. There is a God, and you ain't him. And we kind of need to be reminded of that sometimes. And so our text says in verse 3, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Now, I know there's some of us that think lower of ourselves than we ought, and we need to address that, but that's another message. I won't try to do that now. I think more of us struggle with thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. And there's a number of good reasons not to do that. Yeah, we're made in the image of God, and so we have dignity and we do have value, but we also sin. And we also have weaknesses. And we also have personality quirks and personality flaws and baggage. I got this great idea during first service. What if the church started charging for people's baggage? What if it wasn't just the airlines, but the church started charging for baggage? I think that would take care of some of our problems. But going back to the prepared material, so we've got these flaws, and the good that we do have in us, we cannot take total credit for that, because other people have helped enable whatever good there is in us, and God certainly has. I'm not real sure what it means when it says, think of yourselves in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. I am absolutely sure it means God is involved. We knew all of that ourselves. So those are some reasons we need to not think more highly of ourselves. But really, the main reason we shouldn't think more highly of ourselves in this passage is because each of us is but one person in a large body of believers. We are but one of a large body of believers. In verse 4, the very first word is for. And the for, F-O-R, here means, let me explain that. Let me tell you the reason why that is so, which means verse 4 is connected to verse 3. The reason we shouldn't think more highly of ourselves than we ought is because we're a part of a body, a big body of believers. Now, verse 4 is a comparison. He's talking about a human body, and he says a human body has many members, and the word member there means body part. There's elbows and noses and earlobes and all kinds of body parts in your human body, and they don't all have the same function, but they're all one body. And he says the church is like that. In Christ, there's a whole bunch of us, but we are one body. And here's the line I really want us to see. And each member belongs to all the others. Each part of the church belongs to all the others. Literally, we are members of one another. The toe bone is connected to the foot bone. And the foot bone is connected to the heel bone. And the heel bone is connected to the shin bone. And the toe bone is also connected to the elbow bone. Now, it doesn't work like that in your human body. But in the church, we are all connected to each other. When you were baptized into Christ, you were also baptized into the body of Christ. This morning, two more women were baptized into Christ and into the body of Christ. And when you get baptized into the body of Christ, you're connected. You're a part. You belong. And one of the really important things that tells us is you can't stand on the sidelines. You can't hold back. You can't stay aloof and see what happens. You're supposed to be involved. You're supposed to be connected. Church is not something you attend. It's something you're a part of. It's something that you belong to. If you want to know how church is supposed to be, don't go looking at all the externals to think you're going to fix the church by having the new songs you want or having the old songs you want. Look at the connectedness of the parts of the church. It's so easy to focus on externals and miss the essential dynamic, which is that Jesus Christ has brought us together and made us one body, and we're connected to each other. And because we are, there's some special ways we treat each other. Look at verse 10. This is kind of where I was a couple of weeks ago. Be devoted to one another in love. That's what church is. It's not attending. It's not wondering if you're going to get something out of it. It's not kind of hiding until you see something you want to do and then you get involved. It is being devoted to the other parts of the body. It is honoring one another above yourselves. We've learned not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. And so instead, we honor one another above ourselves. It is, verse 13, sharing with the Lord's people who are in need. It is practicing hospitality. Verse 16, it is living in harmony with one another. I'll come back to that one. It is not being proud, but being willing to associate with people of low position. It is not being conceited. We've learned not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, and so we don't think we're better than everybody, but we associate with anybody. And if you keep reading in Romans in chapter 13, he'll say it means to love one another. In chapter 14, he'll say it means stop judging one another. In chapter 15, he'll say it means accept one another. And later in chapter 15, he'll say instruct one another. There are these special behaviors with which we treat one another because we are all integrally connected as a body of believers. And if you want to be church and you want to be faithful and you want to be a good church and you want to be a healthy church, fix that. It may help to tweak the worship. It may help to get better ministers. It may help to change the meeting times. It may help to learn to be more relevant to society. But I have a feeling that above all, it's going to help if we learn to be different from society by doing relationships like this. You don't know it, but you've got a bumper sticker on your car that says, "Watch me, and I'll show you how to do relationships." And you're going to go tear it off if you can find it. But that's what Jesus is telling us. Did you know that it's his purpose to bring the whole world together as one humanity? That's what Ephesians 2:15 says. His purpose is to bring everybody together as one new humanity. And we're not one new humanity in some political sense. We're one out of many around Christ. In the church, he brings people together. But only if we can learn to love each other and be devoted to each other and not judge each other and honor each other and accept each other and instruct each other. If we can fix that, that'll go an awful long way to fixing church. So, because we're in this body, we treat each other with special relationships. Now, I said I want to say another word about harmony. And I'm going to do that over the next couple of weeks. But today I just want to say it is really important for God's people to be unified. He talked about that a lot. And if you understand that his purpose is to bring people together, you get that. Oh, it's his purpose to bring people together. We better learn how to get together. And then you begin to understand why he says, may they be one as we are one. He wants us to be one like he and his Father are one. May they be one that the world may know that you sent me. That's why that bumper sticker's on your car. Because the way you're learning to treat other Christians is supposed to be telling the world that we've learned from God how to get along with each other. Come do that with us. No, we don't have it perfect. And yes, forgive one another is another one. But we are learning to do that. And the unity of us is so very important. It may be that there comes a time when you have to break fellowship with someone or with your church. I don't want to emphasize that today, but I do want to mention that God calls us to follow our conscience. And if you can't follow your church and follow your conscience, you may have to break fellowship. But even if you do, they're still your brothers and sisters, and you still have to treat them in these special ways. And you don't just run off mad. You talk about it. Because maybe you missed something. Maybe there's more to it than you realize. There was an old commercial that some of us remember that said, I'd rather fight than switch. And then somebody said in the church, it's more the opposite. We'd rather just switch than fight. If something's bugging you, you got to talk about it. You got to try to work it out because it's really important for us to live in harmony with one another. And I'll talk about that some more over the next couple of weeks. Okay, then the third thing is these gifts. What's supposed to happen is we're supposed to not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. We're supposed to come together as an interconnected body and get involved with each other and treat each other in these special ways and then use the gifts that God has given us to serve each other and build up the body. Now, since we're human and since we sometimes think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, we can fall prey to gift envy. I wish I could do what so-and-so could do. I wish I had a better gift than the gift that I got. Why did I have to get stuck with the gift of serving? But the scripture says, God's the one that gave us the gifts. Verse 6, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. Only reason you have a gift is because of God's grace. And he's the one that gave you the gift you have. And he has arranged the body the way he wants it to be. And the Spirit has distributed the gifts as he sees fit. So whatever gift you have, you use that gift to serve. God didn't give you a gift to make you feel good. Although if you use your gift, you probably will feel good because that's what you were designed for. But your gift is not about you. It's about serving the other people in the body and building up the church. If the church isn't what you think it ought to be, then use your gift to serve the church and build it up. Now, there's a lot of these gifts I'd like to talk about, but I'm going to have to limit myself. I want to point out that serving and giving are gifts, but those are also things all of us are supposed to do. Jesus taught all of us to serve, and he taught all of us that it's more blessed to give than to receive. So you can't say, well, I don't have to do that because that's not my gift. You can't say that. But there are some folks who have that gift and will do it a lot. Another thing I want to say is that serving is a gift, but it's also the manner in which we do all the gifts. Whatever your gift is, expect to work. Expect to deny yourself. Expect to sweat some. Expect to exert yourself to use that gift and use it for the purpose of blessing other people in the body. It's one of the ways that the body grows. And I'll stop with that. I think our nation is better on the pluribus than on the unum. I think the many in our nation are saying, I have rights. You will hear me. I have a voice. People ought to listen to me. I'm demanding respect. That's what the many are saying. And it's very easy for us to do the same thing, but you don't get the unum out of that. The Christian way is not to demand our rights. The Christian way is to sacrifice our rights. That's what our leader did. That's what our Lord did. And so we need to get over ourselves and stop thinking we're so important and immerse ourselves into the relationships with the other of the body that we are a part of and serve each other so that God's dream of one new humanity can come true. We don't need an Independence Day. We need Dependence Day and Dependence Life if we want to follow God. And if you want to talk to somebody about that or pray with somebody about that, we'll have some of our shepherds at the back. Let's stand and sing.